Hey y'all, welcome to the Lead Her Ship podcast. I'm Brittany Howard, a mama of six and top leader of a multi-million dollar team, and I love to talk about leadership topics that maximize our impact in our homes, relationships, and in the marketplace as we endeavor to juggle all of our responsibilities well. This podcast is for Christian mamas who either are leaders in network marketing or who aspire to be. I have coached a lot of people to the six-figure level and beyond, and I'm going to share with you here what I share with my team that has helped us build this business with a long-term focus in mind and have very meaningful relationships throughout the journey. We're going to dive into the emotions and thoughts that come with building a business. We're going to deal with relationship dynamics that come with leading a team, especially when your team happens to be your actual friends. We're going to discuss ways to help your team catch the bigger vision with you and how to coach them to success. And we're going to do it all through a biblical lens. So today is the last Lead Her Ship podcast episode of the year. And I wanted to end this year of the podcast with just giving you guys some tips that will set you up to walk into your new year with purpose and vision and confidence. And I think I mentioned last week that I might just do a Q&A episode this week, but after creating some content for social media and seeing the huge response I got to one of the posts, which was about limiting overwhelm and walking into the week feeling prepared, I decided this was a need. And so today we are going to talk about the five top things that will help you limit overwhelm so that you can walk into your week feeling prepared and not all over the place and purpose-driven and like you know exactly what you need to tackle that week and all feel like all of it is in alignment with your values and your goals. You know, as entrepreneurs, it is easy to get overwhelmed because the job description does not always feel clear or black and white or like everything is done. It's kind of like when you're in college and you don't always know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that you studied enough or that you studied the right things until after you get your test score back, right? Sometimes being an entrepreneur can feel that way. And I want you guys to know that I don't ever accomplish everything that I could accomplish or everything that I would love to accomplish for my business in any given day, week, or month, or even year. There's always going to be bigger plans and bigger dreams and bigger to-do lists than you have time allotted for it or available for it. So that is totally normal. But if we don't have a little bit of guidance, it can be easy to feel overwhelmed. And it can, when we are feeling overwhelmed, we may even be tempted to believe that something is wrong with us, that, you know, we fall into comparison mode and we look around at that one girl who just seems to have her whole life together and all her ducks are in a row 100% of the time. And we just know that on the inside, we feel like a train wreck, or we just feel like we're all over the place or just scattered or just can't seem to keep up with it all or fit it all in. I get all of those feelings, guys. As somebody who is running a huge business and has a big team, but also a mom of six, I get what it's like to feel all of those feelings because I feel them on a regular basis. It's just that over the years, with consistency and practice and failing forward and just learning about myself and getting up and trying again, I have learned what to do when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And I've learned some things that can help me limit the overwhelm to begin with. I am not for one second going to sit here and pretend like I, quote, fit it all in. However, I am juggling a lot, and I generally do feel like I am living intentionally and on purpose. And so I want to talk to you today about the things that I do to walk into my week feeling in control of my business and my life and not overwhelmed, or at least to limit the overwhelm. And yes, even during the busiest times of the year. And if I did not do these things between running a big business and having six kids, I would totally feel like I live in a madhouse. And so these things have been born out of necessity. All right, let's dig in. Number one, I time block. Every single week, I sit down with my weekly time blocker that has a weekly grid divided up by hours of the day, and I fill out every hour of it. It is basically like a budget for my time. You know that old saying, a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went? Well, this weekly time blocker, it's like that, except for with time. So this weekly habit of sitting down to time block my week out, it is a non-negotiable for me. With everything that I have going on, this is the only way that I can remain intentional and proactive versus just reactively responding to every single request for my time or every single request for my attention or my brain space or whatever it is. And it's the only way that I don't go through all of my days feeling like a straight up crazy person. Although sometimes I still do feel like a crazy person. And time blocking does not mean that I don't have free time or downtime, because I actually block those things in too. So here is how I time block. First of all, I sit down with my weekly grid and then I pull out the calendar on my phone. The calendar on my phone is where I start, because any person in my household who's old enough to have a device, they know that as soon as a commitment or an appointment is made, then it has to go on the calendar to block that time off. And we can all see each other's appointments and calendar, like all of our calendars are synced so that we can all see the same thing at the same time. And we've all learned the hard way at least one time that if we don't have the habit of immediately putting a commitment or an appointment into the calendar, then that time is fair game. It's open, and anybody else can put something there. And if they miss a commitment because they failed to put it on the calendar, then that's just a lesson we all have had to learn the hard way at least one time. So I sit down with my weekly time blocker and look at my calendar first, and I go ahead and write in any appointments, events, or commitments that me or somebody in my family has made that is going to affect my day or my plan. Put those things on the calendar first. So for me, that might be dentist appointments or take my kids to school. That's the same time every morning. It could be pick a kid up from basketball practice. It could be a volleyball game. It could be standing weekly Zooms that I have with people on my team, or any other standing commitments or appointments. I go ahead and write those things in first. Next, I write in when I'm going to read and when I'm going to work out. Both of those things are really important to me. Neither of them ever feel urgent. And if we are not super intentional and super careful, the urgent things can very easily crowd out the important things. So I write those two things in next. And then I write in the activities in my business that are the needle drivers, that are also the important things that actually make me money and move the needle forward in my business, but they don't really feel urgent either. And then I write in when I'm going to prepare dinner, when I'm going to eat dinner with my family, when I'm going to be with my family, and when I'm going to get my household and personal tasks done. If there's intentional one-on-one time needed with somebody in my immediate family, then I will write that in too. The time blocker that I use is super simple. It's just days of the week going horizontally across the top, and then hours of the day going vertically down the side. I have made these myself on Excel. I have also even just drawn them out on paper. But most recently, I just had my assistant make me one that because I like things to look pretty. If you want to use mine, you can grab that at the link in the show notes. It's a downloadable PDF. Since it's a PDF, that means I can use it on my Remarkable tablet, so that is handy. But lately, my favorite way to use it is to just print it out and display it right next to me on this really cute little horizontal clipboard that I got off of Amazon, and I will link that in the show notes too. But I like to be able to just look over and reference it while I'm working to keep myself on track. So if you need a time blocker and you don't want to make it yourself, then you can grab this one at the link in the show notes for $7. Definitely not trying to make a killing off of it, but just want to help offset some of the costs of producing it. Okay, so number one was time blocking. And now let's talk about number two, which is prioritize what is the most important. So after I put all the things on my time blocker that I need to be intentional and proactive about, then I will look at my task list. Now, I use an app called Google Task, and much like with my calendar, anytime I make a commitment or I have an appointment or whatever, that goes on my calendar. Well, anytime I think of a task that I need to complete, I immediately pull out my phone and I pull up Google Task and I add it to my task list because I don't always have my planner sitting right there in front of me, but I generally do have my phone on me. And so it's just convenient to whip out my phone and go ahead and brain dump that task into the app. And that way I don't forget what I thought about that needed to get done. So after I've put all the things on my time blocker that I need to be intentional and proactive about, then I look at this task list. And here's what's really important for you guys to know. There are always, always more things on that task list than I have time to get done. There's never a time where that is not true, okay? So then I just have to start making decisions. Is this task a priority right now? Is there time available for this task this week? If not, then I move that thing to the next week, or I will move it to whenever I think I will have time to focus on it. The Google Task app allows you to assign it a time or a date or whenever you will, when you want to get it done. And so I will just move it to a time in the future. Sometimes I will decide that I could actually delegate that task, and other times I might just decide to remove it altogether. It's just not the season for that, and I don't want to even give any brain space or attention to it, so I will just decide, you know what, it's not a priority right now, and I will remove it. And if at some point it does become a priority again, then I can always add it back, but sometimes I just have to decide that can't get priority right now and just delete it altogether. The more your responsibilities increase, the more important this skill of prioritization becomes. So for those of you who keep asking, how do you fit it all in? The real answer is, I don't. There's no way any one human being can fit it all in. That's why you have to prioritize. And prioritization is oftentimes very uncomfortable. And this is what I think most people don't realize. I think that most people tend to assume that if someone is successful, they just figured out a way. They figured out a way how to do it all. And that is flat out not true. What is true is that if somebody is very successful here, it is because they have clarity on exactly what it is that they want, and they are prioritizing the activities that are going to help them get whatever it is that they want. Number one success indicator, belief that it can be done. Number two success indicator, prioritization of the activities that move the needle forward. And guys, that's not just true in business. It's also true in your personal life, in your fitness, in your personal finances. It's true in every area of your life. You have to start with what it is that you want, believing that you can have what you want, and then taking the action required to get what you want. That is why when I'm explaining to you guys how I sit down and do my time blocking, I'm not just telling you about my business. I'm also telling you about my personal life. I know what kind of culture I want to create in my family, and I know that dinner around the table with my family is a huge part of what cultivates that. And so it's going on my time blocker. It's a non-negotiable for me. And same thing when I said I am thinking through, is there someone in my immediate family who needs intentional one-on-one time? If so, then I write that in too. So that could range from anything from this person has a big decision to make and probably could use some guidance to, oh, I noticed character issues in this child and it's time for a conversation about that. So it's the same exact thing with the business, guys. You need to know what your biggest vision is, and then you need to know, based off of that, what can you be working on right now that is going to be a stepping stone toward your bigger vision? And once you have that clarity, then you can define what the needle-driving activities for you are. And once you have clarity around the things that you know you need to be doing and that you have to be intentional about in order to get them done consistently, that is when prioritization can feel uncomfortable, because then you will know what you actually have to say no to. And sometimes it's not what you have to say no to, it's who you need to say no to. And that requires boundaries and just good communication skills. And oftentimes, a little bit of courage. Fear of how that no or that boundary is going to be perceived by others can oftentimes keep us from saying no or from putting that boundary there. But here's the truth. At the end of the day, if you know and you're clear on what God has called you to do in this season, He's really the one you have to answer to, and He is really the one whose opinion you should be most concerned about. But this is why prioritization can be uncomfortable. However, like I said earlier, the more your responsibilities increase, the more important and the more non-negotiable this skill of prioritization is going to become if you don't want to feel like a crazy person all the time. So don't have an expectation of being able to do it all, and do expect to have to say no to some things that you want to do in order to say yes to the things that you most want to do. This really is a matter of being able to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the best. Okay, number three is I collaborate with other people and I don't try to do it all myself. So here's one thing you need to know about me. I ain't Superwoman. And also, I absolutely cannot, no matter how hard I try, I cannot multitask. And I get overwhelmed when the list of things that need to get done is greater than the time to do them, which, like I said, is always. So, as my responsibilities have expanded over the years, not only have my prioritization skills improved, but so have my delegation and collaboration skills. And again, I don't just mean in my business. I delegate and collaborate in my household and personal life as well. For example, I delegate almost every single household chore, except for my own laundry, and that's only because I can't find somebody to do it. So either my kids do it, or We pay somebody to do it. And this is how I have taught my kids a work ethic. From the time they can walk, they are expected to help around the house. So this is not the mama works while kids get to be kids show. Absolutely not. If I am working, my kids are going to be working. If I'm in the afternoons when they come home from school, I'm finishing up my work, they're doing their homework. If I'm in the kitchen cooking or cleaning, somebody is in there doing it with me. So we delegate a lot of the household tasks and responsibilities. Now, when it comes to delegation and collaboration in my business, first of all, I delegate anything that I can to my assistant. At this point in my business, there's no way I could run my business without an assistant to help me, and I have a really good one. Basically, I just take all my ideas to her, and she makes them all look really pretty. And then as far as collaborating, I just have a habit of finding the women on my team who are better than I am at certain things, and I ask for their help, and then we work together and we produce something that is outstanding together. So I, at this point, I have a team full of strong, smart, talented leaders that I get to collaborate with, usually on a daily basis. Case in point, I knew that this month I wanted to really focus on creating a new onboarding system based off some things that I've learned recently. And I knew it was just too big of a project for me to do alone. Certain parts of it I wouldn't even be good at. So I went and found leaders from my team that I knew would be talented in that area, and I asked for their help. So three of them in particular have really poured a lot into this project with me, Christina, Michelle, and Emily. And I'm so thankful for them. And it's been way more fun and enjoyable of a process for me and for them than if I was trying to do it all on my own. So I limit overwhelm in my life and in my business by knowing, just having realistic expectations, really, and then not trying to do it all myself. I delegate and I collaborate whenever possible. Okay, number four, I get up early before anybody else in my house. Non-negotiable, y'all. I actually need slow mornings. I don't just want them. I'm telling you, I need them. I need to be able to get up, walk to the coffee maker, do not pass go, do not collect $200, and then drink my coffee while I read in silence. Silence, I tell you. For at least an hour before all of the demands of the day begin. And this is one reason why. If I had a job where I had to be somewhere outside of my home at a certain time every day, I would be miserable in my life, and I am not even kidding. My house is loud and busy almost all the time, except for this time. So this is a practice that I have had for years, and I will sacrifice sleep to have it, because as an introvert, this is where I get my energy from, and I won't be good for anyone or anything if I don't have this time. So just some self-awareness for me. Not sure about you, but it is necessary for me that I get up early before anyone else in my house so that I can have that time. And this was true for me even before I started my business. Okay, and number five, last one. I surround myself with other high performers because iron sharpens iron. So I feel very strongly about this one, guys. I could probably talk a whole hour about this one thing, but imagine if all of the people closest to me were lazy and had no goals or ambition. I can't imagine that. I'm telling you right now, I'd find a new life, or I would at least find a new group of people to be around, because I cannot stand laziness. As a matter of fact, I feel like if you're lazy, go over there, because that is contagious and I don't want it. I also don't understand when people are okay settling for mediocrity. I mean, I cannot compute that. Why would somebody do that, I wonder? When there is so much possibility out there, I will never
comprehend that.
Okay, I'm semi-joking. But in all seriousness, my inner circle, it is made up of women who deeply value their families and also have goals that are so big that they are forced to live very intentionally and disciplined, much like what I have described to you today. So we have very similar lifestyles, and we understand each other. And when I say we understand each other, what I mean is I can trust their advice because I know they want the same things that I want. And so if I were to go to them and say, here's my situation, here's what I'm running into, what would you do in this situation? Or what are you doing about XYZ? I can trust what they say. I value their opinion. I really have to have these women who are rowing in the same direction as me to be able to bounce ideas off of and overcome challenges together and on and on and on. These women are they're an imperative part of my life and my business, because it is a fact that you are going to become an average of the five people you spend the most time with. So I think it's really important that you choose those people very wisely. All right, y'all, those are the five things that will help you limit overwhelm and walk into the new year with intention and purpose. And don't forget to grab that time blocker from the link in the show notes if that's helpful to you. And before you go, I have someone who wants to say hi.
Hi, I'm Molly. What's your name?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Molly. Happy New Year, guys. Hope this was helpful.
So, was this helpful to you today? If it was, would you do me a huge favor and leave me a 5-star rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts? And it also means the world to me when you guys shout me out on social media and tag me. Your feedback is so valuable and so encouraging to me. Thanks so much for hanging out with me this week, guys. See y'all next week.